Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. I am Mary. And you know, sometimes when something gets on your mind and you just keep thinking about it, well, today I'm thinking about the power of one decision. One decision can completely alter the course of your life forever. Like this morning, in the last couple of days, I've decided to get to bed early and to get up early and to go to the pool. So now I've been swimming my mile in the morning instead of the afternoon. And what a difference. It's been amazing. And one decision can be good or bad. And if you decide to send a text while driving, that can create a tragedy. We know a ton of people that that's happened to. If you make a decision to drink and drive and get behind the wheel, that can destroy a family. And one angry moment can cost somebody a relationship, career, years of regret. But the opposite is true, like my swimming. One courageous decision can transform your future. And one decision to move across the country or to take a new job or to leave a toxic relationship or to forgive or go back to school, start a business, get healthy, or one decision to help someone else succeed totally changes your life. And sometimes it's when someone else believes in you. And sometimes it changes because someone opens a door for you or introduces you to the right person or encourages you to think bigger, which is what I'm trying to do for all of us who are here, or to simply to remind you that your life still matters. And when you really study successful people, so many of them didn't get there alone. They built relationships, they networked, they learned, they stayed curious, they stayed open. And especially in today's environment, you have to be doing that. You have to keep moving forward, even when your life is not going to plan, because a lot of people's life has been disrupted recently. And today's guest has an incredible story of global missions work, leadership, helping others create opportunities, and now educating people about domestic energy, investing, and long-term opportunity. I know you're going to love today's conversation. Today, we're welcoming Rachel Griffith. And Rachel is Senior Vice President of King Operating Corporation, a company focused on domestic energy and develop and helping investors become understand opportunities within the oil and gas. But what makes Rachel's story especially fascinating is before she was in the energy business, she spent 14 years in Kenya working in missions, business development, youth outreach, women's leadership, development, and animal welfare throughout Africa. Rachel, it is so great to have you here. You and I are personal friends. It's so good to have you. You are in Dallas, right?
Yes, absolutely, Mary. And thank you so much for having me on today. I am very honored and excited just to be talking with you and your audience today. So thank you very much. Yes, based here in Dallas.
Yes. Well, when you and I met, we met through a mutual friend, and we're going to be doing some business together. And I was just so fascinated by your story because I've always wanted to live abroad. And I always dreamt that I would go to these tribes in Africa and dance with the ladies and play with the kids. And I see people online. You actually got to do that, right? You actually lived in Kenya and worked throughout Africa. I'd love to hear your story.
Yeah. I am very, very blessed. And it's definitely been a life-changing experience to have been able to go to Kenya over 14 years ago, move with our family. At the time, my husband and I, we're still married 20 years, but our kids were 1, 3, and 6 years old.
Wow.
And we went over there and started with a missions organization, and that kind of built off of that to different organizations that we helped and helped run, and was very blessed and fortunate to be able to travel across Africa and you know, Ethiopia, Uganda, South Africa, and a lot of different amazing places. And so it's an incredible experience. It's made me who I am today, and it is very amazing when you get to go and experience another culture, really understand that the world is very different.
Yes.
And, you know, and just be able to take that in and be able to use what the Lord has given you, whether that's gifts, talents, resources, to impact others.
That's so amazing. Yes, I agree. It's and the mission work is really hard. It's how did you guys decide to do the missions, humanitarian work? And what was that? Like, how did that impact you doing that kind of work?
I mean, I think we'd have to have a few hours to talk about the entire impact. But, you know, honestly, my husband and I, we both had always, from the time we met, had a very adventurous spirit and had wanted to travel. And in church, we were serving and there were some opportunities to serve overseas. And so my husband actually went and did that a few times, and the door opened for us to go over for some six-month trip. And we, you know, we did that a couple times. We really loved it. It definitely is difficult. It's challenging in a bunch of different ways, you know, just as far as learning how to live, learning how to, you know, speak another language and understanding the differences in culture. And so after a couple trips, we actually permanently moved over there. And started our life and work there.
And I know it's so different. I have clients that came over to the United States and they literally didn't even know how to turn on a light switch because they lived in a tribe, kind of a tribal environment. But how did that living overseas really impact your perspective on life in the U.S.? The differences, the advantages that we have and what people get happy about over there versus here?
Yeah, I mean, those are some great questions. I think, you know, first of all, America is truly a blessed nation. And, you know, even though we do within America still struggle with the poverty level here, and there are still people working to get out of that, you know, just the ability to access, you know, education here, the ability to access resources, and really the American mindset is a very different mindset than not just Africa, but many places around the world. You know, America is a very interesting country where you can be taught from a young age that you can do anything if you believe it. And if you don't have to have, you know, gone to this college or have done this to actually change your life. And, you know, that mindset of the American dream is more powerful than people realize than in, you know, countries that are still very developing nations where, you know, lack of education, lack of, you know, a lot of the girls that we worked with, you know, they couldn't purchase what we call, you know, sanitary pads, so pads when you're having your menstrual cycle. It's one of the number one reasons why girls don't go to school.
Oh my gosh, it's so antiquated. It's so basic.
It's so basic. You know, so those types of situations, lack of access to
Do you think they're holding that back? Do you think they're holding girls back over there? That's so basic. Like, who wouldn't go solve that in a ministry or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a widespread problem that there is becoming a little bit more access, but girls in very rural areas oftentimes don't have access to those organizations or, you know, some of the governments are trying to be better about having those resources. But again, corruption is,
corruption.
You know, corruption is such an issue, and we've seen that with USAID being halted in some areas is that a lot of that aid is actually pocketed. So it's just kind of a dark cycle that affects, you know, the youngest and most vulnerable people.
Yeah. I have a friend who is helping company or different chocolate growers around the world. And it's the same thing. The corruption stops them from progressing. And a lot of the money is taken out so it doesn't go back right into the society. That is crazy. What kind of relationships did you develop? Like, you're totally different. You're so beautiful. How did that impact the people over there? Was that... were you down home? Were you just, how was that? How was it meeting all the people?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, didn't look like I do sitting in my office today, much more different attire. But people, you know, people were overall, and I would say this about Kenyans, for the most part, very friendly, very welcoming people, very kind. And I was incredibly fortunate to build very deep relationships with a lot of different people, and, you know, they were very fascinated, not so much with me, but when my kids were little, their very white blonde hair, you know, when we would be at a church with youth and things like that, they would love to touch my children's hair. And, you know, so, but overall, I mean, the Kenyans are, you know, very kind people, very welcoming, very different than sometimes we have in the U.S. where people are, I think, have become more cold to their neighbor. Less hospitable, where you know, Kenyans will always invite you in for a cup of tea. Oh, they'll try and extend their best to you. So.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's old school here. And there are some neighborhoods that now you can drive around. I met one yesterday, was looking at houses in my own local area. And the gal next to the next door neighbor came out. She's like, who are you? What are you about? I'm like, oh, I'm just looking at the house. And yeah. She goes, well, we want to make sure that everybody here, because everyone is great. We want to make sure you're great, too. I was like, I'm just looking. So,
she's like already like having you fill out an application for the neighborhood. Like,
yeah, I know. But, it's pretty
and Texas is very nice as well. I mean, I would say Texans are, you know, in areas are much more friendly and hospitable, kind of that old school Southern, feeling.
And I know you're now doing an amazing job. I can't wait to dig into that. But you are very relationship energy or related, I think. Do you think relationships in today's world, both there and here, matter more than resumes sometimes?
I think absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a resume is a piece of paper and mm-hmm. people can put down a lot of facts or mm-hmm. variables, even, you know, how much is true sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think that relationships are still the core center of, mm-hmm. they should be the core center of any society.
Yeah.
No matter where you live. I mean, the relationships that we build are what are going to propel us into positive things, into doors opening.
Yes.
They can also, you know, the lack of that can be very demonstrative in people's lives.
Oh, very sure. So true. And that adventurous spirit that you and your husband had, I think that does have a benefit to people if they're starting to look, because there's so many people that need to reinvent right now. AI is really changing the culture and changing business like crazy. But I think that the relationships are something that's going to keep us coming back to doing business with individuals. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be talking about Rachel. And I want to hear about how you got back to King Operating and how you came back to the United States. So this is the Mary Gardner Show. I'm Mary Gardner, and we are talking to Rachel Griffith and just about all things fun and mission trips. And we'll be talking about oil and gas investing shortly. Take a break. We'll be right back.
Let's unlock the communicator and the leader that you always wanted to be. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. It's Mary, and we're talking to my friend Rachel Griffith. And we're talking about women in leadership, personal growth, networking, helping people to have bigger opportunities in their life. And what I see in the marketplace, because I talk to people every day, is that there's an urgency to recreate, to reinvent. I just talked to a young lady today who's a recruiter, and she is telling me that, wow, AI has really put a damper on things. And I think because of the war and all of these situations, things are just in chaos right now a little bit and uncertain. And so the reason why I wanted to talk to Rachel today is that she is working in an environment where she reinvented, came back to the United States from working abroad in missions. And I loved her story. And so also she landed this amazing job, which is great. We're going to hear about that. So Rachel, I just love your story. You are so deeply rooted in service and helping people grow, and which is what the show is about. But tell me, what does leadership mean to you today? You've had a lot of experiences over there. What did you learn in leadership over in Kenya, and how did that translate into working here in leadership in the United States?
Yeah, I actually love this question, and I love this topic that you brought up in talking about leadership, because I think it's so important in the world that we live in today, defining leadership. And there's some great, you know, people out there, Maxwell and all that, who I did study deeply. And I think my own journey with leadership was, it's never going to be quick and easy. Some people are natural born leaders. That doesn't mean you're a good leader.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you know how to lead. It means that leadership truly is really built, I believe, in service. And of course, as a strong Christian, a lot of my leadership ideology comes from the example that, you know, Christ gave us. But in Kenya, I learned so many hard lessons. Mm-hmm. I learned, you know, that leadership is not just about being strong, and mm-hmm. it's not about giving orders, and it's mm-hmm. not about doing it all yourself. It's mm-hmm. really about understanding the people that you're serving. And it's really about selflessness in getting down, doing the work, understanding the needs of the people that you're leading,
mm-hmm.
Understanding that your example is one of the most powerful mm-hmm. lessons that you're teaching people.
Mm-hmm.
And so your ability to serve, your ability to get down and do the work and understand those people, and then also be able to build in them what they're missing, mm-hmm. is one of the most powerful traits in mm-hmm. leadership.
Yeah.
That I believe, you know, it's not just about you being a strong leader. Your leadership really is about, can you get other people to grow?
Absolutely.
Can you inspire them to be the leader you are?
So how is it over there versus here with the male-female thing? Because here you are, a strong female leader. Did it translate over there? Or are they hesitant to follow a female?
Well, I think that's, you know, it's really interesting. And every country in Africa is very different. Kenya has probably made the most progress in having a lot of women in leadership, and Kenya being more, you know, a little bit more developed than, okay. you know, some other countries across sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay.
And Kenya having, you know, Nairobi is the largest business center, the business hub in sub-Saharan Africa. So I think they've been more impacted by having women in leadership. But I would say for me, it wasn't exactly about being a woman. It was more about being a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you are a foreigner working amongst, you know, other cultures and other people, it teaches you that you have to understand and learn their culture.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you make changes to what you think is right?
Yeah.
While still also maybe able to bring new ideas to help them see a better way.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's that your way is actually just isn't applicable to their current situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be adaptable. You really need to learn the people that you're serving, the cultures and the customs that you live within.
That's a great lesson for anyone who's even going into a new company or a new industry. Mm-hmm. There are always cultures and customs. I even think when I go to a new pool, and some people do swimming in circles, some of them split the lane, and you really do have to know the culture of where you're going.
Yep.
So that is really awesome, advice there. And one of the things I know about you is that you've entered several male-dominated spaces. And I work also with a lot of women that are in leadership in construction, finance. You're in finance and in these male-dominated fields. How has that impacted you and your communication? That's what I want to know. How do you talk differently when you're in a male-dominated field?
Yeah. You know what? I think for me, I actually hone my communication that whether I'm really talking to a man or a woman, it's kind of the same. I'm actually looking for the way that they communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I do realize that women sometimes, they like a little bit more feedback. They like a little bit more encouragement. They want to hear sometimes, hey, you did a great job. I think that's really amazing. Sometimes men are not as don't desire, and I hate to blanket all men because I think men like to hear they're doing a good job as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think but I think it's actually having those interpersonal skills mm-hmm. where you actually care to recognize how does somebody want me to communicate with them and what is the most effective way. And definitely working in a male-dominated, you know, industry mm-hmm. is very different. I'm fortunate to work with some great men,
mm-hmm.
you know, that have been very, you know, very supportive. But I think, you know, for a woman, it is realizing that you're powerful and honing that power, but yet not coming off too like you're trying to be too dominant.
Oh, that's a real balance for women who go into the male dominated field. Sometimes they're so aggressive and men are very turned off by that. Mm-hmm. I have found that a lot of women, even like in real estate or whatever, they talk too much and men are not into that story. They don't want to hear all the reasons why we're late this morning, just like, sorry, I'm late. It's more about get to the point quickly. And so I've noticed that for you, you and I have a similar speaking style, which is more, it's a sales style. I think you read the room. I think that is such a great technique and something, a great skill for people to learn in today's, world. When you're networking, people will take a quick minute and they will identify you. Oh, they're going to take my time. They're going to waste my time. Or this person will bring value. And so I know that when you're in that networking place, you and I are doing a lot of networking. How important is that first impression and that, I guess, relationship building for you when you're meeting people in your job now? Are you doing it quickly, building rapport quickly? What advice could you give anybody who is looking to maybe go into networking or business development or sales?
Sure. Yeah, I think networking is, you know, very important. There's some incredible books out there about networking that I've read. And I think, you know, number one, initiating a conversation with somebody is definitely something where I like to ask a question about them. Mm-hmm. I want to find out more about them. And I don't like to ask this question, what do you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a very direct and kind of unintentional question that mm-hmm. more just pulls somebody's, you know, what they do for work. And yeah. instead of a question is, oh, what brought you here tonight? Or mm-hmm. Are you having a good time so far? Or have you yeah. ever come to this event before?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really looking to actually build some rapport up front, learn a yeah. little bit about them
yeah.
Before I start talking about myself. And I think that is important when you're meeting people.
Have you ever been with someone who just goes on and on and on and you're like, okay, after 2 minutes, you're like, all right, zoning out. Yeah, you always want to be able to throw yeah. the conversation to someone else,
yeah.
let them communicate. And then I always use this form. It's formula FORM, family, occupation, recreation, message. And I like to ask the message, like, what do you do for fun? You know, what, or yes. like what you're saying, what brings you here? Who do you know here?
Yes.
I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what advice would you give somebody? Because you did a big reinvention yourself coming back here, complete big reinvention. What would you say to someone who's trying to reinvent themselves professionally? Because a lot of people need to do that now.
Yeah, I think that that is number one. One of the things that people really need to have when they're looking to reinvent themselves is confidence. And mm-hmm. you really need to believe in yourself. You need to have an inner belief that you can take on a new challenge, that you can learn new things. And again, you know, I'll just have to go back to my faith because I really believe that that's what has given me a lot of confidence mm-hmm. to succeed is I do have an inner faith that, mm-hmm. you know, God has created me to do wonderful and unique things. And really, you know, in my relationship with Christ, that's been instilled in me a lot of boldness and a lot of confidence
mm-hmm.
that came through some years of developing that and letting,
yeah.
you know, the Lord build that inside of me
mm-hmm.
as a person of confidence. And mm-hmm. I think when you realize you're by no means required to be the same person you were yesterday.
Yeah.
And that means also trimming off things, self-assessment, right? Like, mm-hmm. what do I need to get better at? What are some
yes.
things I need to change?
That's right.
And then believing that, look, if you believe in yourself, you can actually go and learn anything you want to learn. There is so much
yeah.
accessible to us at this day and age, right?
Yeah.
There's so many things. Now, can I go become a lawyer? I mean, I guess I could if I wanted to go back to school and do all those years. So that's a little bit
different,
right?
Don't really need
right?
to anymore with the, you know, with all the AI stuff. You don't really know. What habits do you think that people need to continue to grow and learn? Now that we've got AI, you can get any information. So what habits do you think people should be honing in on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, habits just of positive self-development, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the best habits that you're going to have. What time do you get up in the morning? What do you do with that first hour of your day,
mm-hmm.
right? And then how do you craft the rest of your day? How
yeah.
do you a habit that I've actually worked on, which is interesting. I mean, it should maybe come naturally, but sometimes in our work environment, we use all these incredible communication skills, right?
Yeah.
We read these books about critical conversations, and we have all these tools that we use in sales to de-escalate maybe a situation. And a habit I've worked on is to communicate with my family that way.
Oh,
not
what a great
to
tip. Yeah.
not to just use the things I'm learning in my workspace, but
yeah.
how do I create a better environment in my home with the people that
I love.
So creating like very healthy habits
yeah.
with my family. And then I think that health and wellness is a really important habit to have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love it that you were talking about that first hour. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Rachel Griffith of King Operating Corporation today out of Dallas, Texas. And we're about ready to transition and talk about oil and gas investing, where she is working and she is an expert. And we're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. You're listening to The Mary Gardner Show, and I'm Mary, and I look forward to checking back with you in a few minutes after you listen to our sponsors.
You're not starting over, you're rising higher. Welcome back to The Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Mary Gardner Show. And we've been talking to Rachel Griffith. And Rachel lived in Kenya for many years doing mission work with her family and her husband. And then she was able to come back to the United States, and she was able to reinvent completely, and now is working in the oil and gas field, which is just amazing. And we've been talking success, we've been talking personal development and communication skills. And this reinvention thing is really important because AI is taking over a lot of people's jobs. And so you need to skill build now. And so we've been talking to Rachel, who was able to do it very effectively. And I want to know, Rachel, from you, and you're working with highly successful people, what do you think that those these people have in common over the rest of us?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at highly successful people, I think, you know, there's a few commonalities, and some of them is going to be drive. They have a drive for some reason. You know, what is their why? There's some great books out there about why.
Yes.
And I think there's a common purpose of, you know, why do you want to push yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What is driving you? What is compelling you to go beyond, to, you know, be passionate? And you really need to discover that why within yourself. And I think another great common denominator is people who will not make excuses in life.
Yeah.
Because excuses, I used to tell my kids this, excuses are for people who want to fail. And we can all look at our lives and say, well, I didn't come from this family. I don't have this education. I don't have this degree. I haven't done this. But really, at the end of the day, taking responsibility for your own life and realizing that you actually have the power and ability to change your own life is one of the most powerful things that anybody can believe. And I think that successful people, they don't allow excuses. They don't allow past failures.
Yeah.
They don't allow those disruptions to speak loud in their head. Everybody deals with them from time to time.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, they do. And people just, and a lot of people give up. And on the entrepreneurial road, people just say, oh, I can't do it. It's too much. But what I have learned and what you're saying is that not making excuses, but taking a rest sometimes is okay. And to, you know, I love that scripture, be still and know that I'm God. And oftentimes I'm like, hey, you said this, God, you know, I know it's not going to penalize me if I'm taking a little break right now, because you need to get refreshed. And you were talking about it earlier, Rachel, about keeping yourself healthy is so important when we're on this journey. And right now with so many people in upheaval, it's like there's a tendency, or you could like overeat. And it's really important that you stay healthy right now, stay hydrated, because you've got to be a warrior in today's world. You've got to be strong. And so we're talking, you know, success. So Rachel, tell me what legacy that you hope to leave from your work. You've done so many amazing things.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I hope that my legacy is really that people are in a better place than where they were before they met me, that they, when I've been able to work with them, when I've been able to speak into their life, or, you know, for instance, the animal shelter that I ran, was able to transform that and leave it better than I found it. I think, you know, my legacy would be that wherever I've been, whatever I've touched is better than the way I found it.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. I really enjoy hearing that's a great legacy for anybody to have. And I know now that one of the big things that you're focusing on is your job. And you have a huge job, really big job, very important job. You're working for King Operating Corporation. And our dear friend Jay Young of the Jay Young Show is the owner and founder. And you're coming up on your 30-year anniversary, which is great. But you've only been there for a year and a half or so, I think. I want to hear about the oil and gas industry. I mean, right now, because of the war and everything, oil and gas and all of the investments, all that, it's really misunderstood. It impacts us every single day. It's going to impact us with the price of everything. But for somebody listening who doesn't understand oil and gas, can you explain how the industry really works?
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of touch back on what you said. Yeah, so blessed and honored to be at King Operating with our CEO, Jay Young, who, you know, we didn't even get to this interesting part of the story about how I even came to work here, which was, you know, really through a mutual friend, where I was able to speak at a leadership summit they were doing for King Operating and share the work that we did in Africa, actually. They were looking at having a broader focus and just getting, you know, thinking beyond, right? In corporate leadership, sometimes you're so focused on what's happening internally. So I spoke for them to think beyond just, you know, King Operating and the oil and gas company. It was actually then that Jay Young actually, King Operating became a donor for us, and then extended the invitation that if I was coming back to the U.S., he was really pleased by the way I spoke and said I would love to, you know, offer you a position if you guys ever make the move back. So I kind of wanted to preface that because it's really interesting just how doors can open and, you know,
by showing up and doing a good job. No matter where you are. That's why I tell young people all the time, like, even if you've got a job that isn't so elevated or fantastic, show up and do a great job because people are watching. So good on you. Yeah.
Mary, that's it. My kids, I have teenagers and a young adult, and they have this saying now that I love, and they say, shoot your shot. Shoot your shot, right? It's like taking your shot. And, you know, when I was invited to come and speak with King Operating, I was just so happened it caught me off guard. It wasn't a plan. Their coach, their executive coach, was a friend of my husband's family. We had just showed up from Kenya, and I was dog sick. Okay, I was very, very sick, and I just thought, you know what? I feel like I should go down there. I mean, I hope I don't get everybody sick, and I use my sanitizer. But I shot my shot, right? Like I went and I believed in what I did, and I wanted to share that. And you never know what doors might open for you if you'll step out.
That's right. That's impressive. Yeah. So
anyway, so yes, your original question.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to explain, like, how does the industry really work? You know, because you're in oil and gas every day, but give us an overview of how the oil and gas and maybe how your company works.
Yeah. So oil and gas, right? I mean, when we think about the oil and gas industry, it like you said, it has so much Hollywood and landman and drama and a lot of mystery really surrounding the oil and gas space, but it has been so refined over the years. It has really moved leaps and bounds when you think about the fact that really within the last 30 years, the U.S. has doubled their U.S. oil and gas production from, you know, the 90s. We were only producing about 6 to 6.5 million barrels of oil a day compared to now between 10 and 13 million barrels a day. It's truly an incredible feat. And, you know, really the oil and gas industry in the U.S. is about locating those hydrocarbons under the ground, extracting them for the production of not just, you know, gasoline, but other byproducts that affect our everyday life, from the chip that's in our cell phone to the shoes you put on your feet and the cosmetics in your face to, you know, natural gas. All these different things are provided through the U.S. drilling of hydrocarbons.
Wow. Wow. I think, I mean, you in Texas, it's commonplace because everybody is in the oil and gas industry, almost everybody you know. But here in Central Florida, it's such a foreign thing, which is so excited. I'm going to be introducing you to my associates in Orlando and also on a national basis. But tell me about domestic energy production and why is it so important right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we're looking at in the world kind of draws the perfect picture, right? You know, even though we're still, you know, we're actually producing around, you know, 10 to 13 million barrels a day, we still import 5 to 6 million barrels of crude. And a lot of that is a heavy sour crude that we get from overseas for diesel and jet fuel. But really with what you're seeing in the, you know, Middle East and the Strait of Hormuz being closed and a lot of disruption and a lot of supply damage, it really brings the focus back to the fact that we have to continue to be self-sustaining in the U.S.
Yes.
And not just for our economy, not just for our people, but also for security purposes, right? I mean, our energy production is what gives us a lot of security within the United States for our naval fleets, for our Air Force bases, for all of those things. So this industry is highly important, especially now when we are seeing that, you know, if there is disruption, eventually, you know, we're going to see some further disruption probably in the next few months affecting, you know, diesel, airline flights, food, transportation, fertilizer. So it's not just when you go to the pump and it's, you know, a higher price.
Right.
Actually, it affects every part of our life.
Yeah, that's what I think a misconception that people have still about the industry is just at the pump. And how many, you said gasoline impacts the cell phones, the cosmetic, crude oil, and there's so many differences, and the Navy, all the Air Force, all of that, but our everyday life, it's something that it's going to impact all of us. Is it going to get better? And tell me, I mean, do you know how, Is there any way for you to predict?
Well, we've done a lot of great webinars, talked to a lot of specialists, Dan Steffens from EPG, John Malden, our chief economist, and basically anybody you follow at this point from Bloomberg to Goldman Sachs. We are going to see elevated prices in commodities probably into 2027. I don't see a world where we aren't looking at $80 to $90 a barrel.
Mm.
So I think we are now going to see an extended pricing period through 2027. And a lot of that is just because of how much damage has been done in the Middle East. You're not just looking at the fact that there's millions of barrels off the market every day. You know, that one day of 3 million barrels missing. Well, you don't just go get that all of a sudden, right? That takes weeks of development for them to produce that. So with production shut in, with, infrastructure damage, we are going to definitely see a ripple effect. And the longer this continues, the more that impact becomes
I mean, it's going to impact everything. The food, it's going to impact across, any kind of transportation. It's going to impact everything. That's why people need to get a side gig. All right, you guys, we're talking to Rachel Griffith of King Operating Corporation out of Dallas, Texas. And we're going to be rejoining her in just a minute, talking about the oil and gas industry, how it impacts us, what we can do to prepare. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Mary Gardner Show. I'm Mary Gardner. Check out our website, marygardner.com. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Sharpen your voice. Refine your brand. With the Mary Gardner Show. Let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. I'm talking to Rachel Griffith, and she's the VP at King Operating Corporation out of Dallas, and they are an oil and gas investment company. And Rachel, the reason why I wanted to talk to you today is that I just want to get educated. And I know that here in Central Florida, people probably do invest in oil and gas, but more we talk about stocks and real estate and things like that. And so I want to know about the future of domestic energy. I want to know, is it going to be somewhere that people can get invested? And I want to talk about what you guys are doing at King Operating.
Absolutely. Those are wonderful questions. So yes, absolutely. What are we doing here at King Operating? Well, let me break it down simply for people to understand. We are direct operators, Mary. So that means that we actually have, an entire team of an entire operations team made up of engineers, different types of engineers, which would be petroleum engineers and reservoir engineers. We have geologists. We've got the whole team that actually goes out. We have landmen. We have two landmen, like the show. So they actually go out and assess acreage within Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for developmental areas. It's not exploratory or wildcatting. So we're looking for areas that we know have oil and gas in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually secure those leases.
Mm-hmm.
And then we begin to drill for oil and gas.
Wow.
Keeping it basic. So
that is
what we do. And we create, not just oil and gas for the United States, which also drives the economy through, all the vendors and the drillers that we hire, but also opportunities for investors.
Okay. And what are they actually investing in? An oil field?
Mm-hmm.
One drill?
You nailed it. Yes, an oil field. So when an investor looks to invest in oil and gas, they're looking at a couple different things. Now, a lot of the reasons why people are interested in getting involved in a direct working interest operation like ourselves, which means that we actively drill wells, is because the United States incentivizes high net worth individuals, or we use the term accredited investors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They incentivize them to get involved in the programs, and they offer them a very substantial tax deduction for doing so.
Oh, okay. That's helpful.
So, Ronald Reagan in 1986, we've always had tax deductions and opportunities, going back 100 years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1986, Ronald Reagan really solidified this and put it into law, what is called the intangible drilling cost.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you're taking on the active responsibility with the drilling company, and you are receiving up to 75 to 85% deduction on your investment.
Okay. Okay. And anybody who's investing with you guys does have to be an accredited investor, which, explain that to me. You have to have a certain amount of net worth. And also, I don't know, what are the criteria for that?
Yeah, that is a great question, because sometimes when people hear you need to be an accredited investor, they think you need a certificate. And there are some ways that you can actually receive a certificate. But what it really means is that because oil and gas does have an element of risk, and we've worked to mitigate some of that risk, it is a little bit of a different investment, right? You are still drilling in the ground for oil and gas, which we are highly more successful than we used to be in the past with that. But there is an element of risk, and your investment is illiquid. So unlike a stock where you could pull it back out and get your money at any time, mm-hmm. when you invest in oil and gas, it goes into the ground, right? Mm. So it's actively working in the ground for drilling. Mm. So you can't come and pull it out. So it means that, you know, the SEC wants you to have a certain amount of money to participate in these types of programs. And so the way that they really look at that is you could use your W-2 income, and you could say that if you have filed, you know, single, you have $200,000 or more for 2 years. If you're filing joint, you've made $300,000 for 2 years, or that you have $1 million in net worth, not including your primary residence. And that's really the basic gauge that we use.
Okay. Okay. So you do have to be having cash flow coming in, and they just use your W-2. So it's kind of like getting a credit card, you know, you got to prove that you're worthy of it, which is amazing. And then what's the process if I bring some of my friends that I know are accredited investors to the table and introduce them to you, what's the process that somebody will get to work with you guys?
Yeah, so usually what happens when somebody makes an introduction or referral, we go ahead and schedule a Zoom with them usually. We send them some information to start reviewing, and then we schedule a Zoom where we get to know them a little bit better, understand, you know, their investment background. What are they, you know, what is the most important thing for them? Are they looking for tax deductions? Are they interested in, you know, cash flow? What, you know, just getting to understand the investor, and then we start walking them through the opportunity because we are currently, you know, a producing fund, which means we already have wells that are online. We have 14 wells currently producing.
Oh, wow.
We pay out monthly revenue, so that's monthly distributions off the sale, the sale of all the production that we have currently. And then we'll talk about this shortly, but our model is different, so there is a growth opportunity in 3 to 5 years to see, you know, around a 2.8x multiple on your capital invested.
Okay. And so is there a minimum that people have to invest in order to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there is. Our minimum investment is $100,000.
Okay. So that's doable. So for people that are able to take a risk, people who are accredited investors, people who do understand that there is going to be a payout, and it probably or could take a couple of years, it would be a great opportunity for them. And if you're interested and you're listening, of course, I am a good connector. I would love to introduce you to Rachel and to Jay Young at the Jay Young Show over in at King Operating. This is really a great opportunity. Do you love working there? You love the industry. What do you love about it?
Oh, I just love the people I get to work with. And I love the fact that this industry is so important to all of us. I mean, it impacts our daily lives. And I think going back to, you know, living abroad, you really see, you know, energy poverty in such a different way. You see, you know, we consistently lived without power at different times because there's just not enough of it. And it affected, you know, everything from being able to store vaccines to kids being able to come home and study for school at night. You know, so energy poverty affects a massive part of the world, and being able to actually be in an industry that impacts all of our lives for the better, you know, really are, if you look at America, a lot of the advancements we made were because of the growth of energy that we had. And we want to sustain that.
And it's an amazing story. And you're an amazing person. You've been at the probably poverty level, and now you're at a wealthy level. You have experienced the highs and lows. And if I were coaching you and you were speaking, I would say the contrast there is amazing. One day you wake up one way and you're going out and being in a you know, in a hut or something. The next day you're waking up in luxury. We've got a little quick break because we're going to take this little break. It's called You Rock.
You rock, you rock, you rock, you rock.
So Rachel, you rock section I love, because this was, it came about because I have a brother who passed away several years ago, and he lived with scoliosis. He had a very difficult life and he was disabled, and he always told me, Mary, you rock, just keep going, be happy. Mm-hmm. And so he was the biggest encourager in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I want to give a gift back always to somebody in my life. And also I'm going to ask you in just a minute, but the person right now that I'm picking that rocks is my friend Karen Biddix Caldor. And Karen is one of my besties who is right now, she's been several hospital stays with her dad, who's 91, Ned, and we're just such great friends. She was a friend in high school. She's a friend now. She's keeping me sane. Also, every day we chat. And Karen, you rock. I love you, girl. I'm so proud of you. You're doing amazing. So, Rachel, how about you? Who rocks in your world?
Yeah, that's incredible. I am going to go with who rocks for my sister, Carissa. She's my only sister, and I am very proud of her. She was married for a long time to a guy that was not very nice, and I won't get into that story, but yeah. she finally walked away from that relationship, and she has four beautiful kids. Aww. And speaking of reinventing herself, from going from basically a stay-at-home mom to providing for her family and looking for a new career path and a new home to live in. To me, she is a rock star, and I just think that to all the single moms out there who are pushing forward to do things for their children, and create a better life, I just think my sister rocks, and I'm so proud of her.
Carissa, you rock. That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, you know that I have loved today's conversation, and it's a reminder that success is not simply just about money or titles. It's about impact, and it's about relationships, service, growth, faith, courage, and helping other people succeed along the way. And sometimes the most powerful thing you can do in life is simply stay open, as Rachel has described today. And it's sometimes you're open to learning, relationships, open to opportunity, open to reinvention, because one conversation can change your life and your future forever. And one relationship can open a door. One introduction can alter the direction of your life. And maybe that's the deeper lesson today. You got to keep growing, keep learning, keep serving, keep showing up, because your next chapter may be greater than you can imagine. Rachel, I'd love to give you the final word on today. What is your word that you want to leave with everybody today?
Oh, man. Okay. My word would be believe.
Amen.
Just, you need to believe in yourself and believe in, you know, I believe in my, you know, my God, my Lord and Savior. And I believe in a lot of other people who've impacted my life and have impacted my journey. And so belief is very important. It drives us. I'll leave you with a scripture that says, as a man believeth in his heart, so is he.
So is he. Amen. That's beautiful. We've been talking today to Rachel Griffith of King Operating Corporation, and you've been listening to The Mary Gardner Show. Please check us out at marygardner.com. We have all of our old programs there. And if you have an interesting story to tell, we'd love to have you on the show. Please email me at mary@marygardner.com. And also, if you need some good consulting strategy and how to transfer your experience into a business or how to reinvent, hit me up, because that's what I do and I love it. It's my God-given gift. I can see you at your highest level. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us at The Mary Gardner Show. Rachel, thank you so much for being here. And everybody, you guys rock. And don't forget, please stay inspired. We love you all. Take care and God bless.